heard Joe Rose say this before. I'll say it. You can't ruin a Friday. Especially can't ruin a Friday. It's a Dolphins preseason game day tonight. And Dan Day and I, we're going to have our coffee flowing all throughout the day. Because not only are D-Day and myself with you here bright and early on Friday morning, we're going to be closing the station down tonight, Dan, because we're going to be on from roughly 10:30 to 12:30 p.m. tonight. You and I tag teaming on that Dolphins post-game coverage. And, you know, I think we might see some things tonight. I know that based on the way the preseason goes, the Dolphins have last couple years since they extended the schedule and reduced the preseason schedule have treated the second preseason game like the dress rehearsal as they did last week with most of the starters. Not all, but most of the starters getting in last week. But Mike McDaniel did say that there are going to be some starters who get some action tonight because there are jobs to be won, and not just starting jobs. There are roster jobs to be won because they got to cut that thing down to 53. So we're going to have some hot position battles going on tonight. And, you know, the real ones, the real Dolphin fans, most of the people who listen to this show every morning are, you know, planning on watching tonight regardless. But for those who are on the fence, it's preseason game three. I don't know. Maybe I can find something else on tonight. Maybe I go out to a high school football game or something. I do feel that tonight's preseason game is worth watching because there are some jobs up for grabs, wide receiver jobs, running back jobs. Is Chris Brooks going to get on that final 53-man roster? So, yeah, I'm going to go into tonight with eyes wide open. And I don't know, Dan, has there been any sort of a prognosis? Is there any chance that Tua Tagovailoa gets some PT tonight, or do you think he's just going to be on the sidelines holding a clipboard?
I mean, there is a chance that he's going to get in tonight, but I would not bet against it. That would be my whole thing. He's done enough. He was, what, five for five the other day? That's pretty much enough. Touchdown, drive, score, greatest show on surf. Yeah, that's enough for me. Like, let's go ahead and just get ready for week one, September 8th against the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Well, and honestly, I think it's more important to give as much work as possible to those two backups.
Woo!
Now, in each of the last 2 weeks, the trend has been Skylar Thompson being the first backup, the first man up out of the backup quarterbacks. So maybe the Dolphins are leaning in that direction, but I don't imagine we're going to carry three quarterbacks on the roster again. So I don't know. Maybe we get a step closer into figuring out, is it Skylar, the guy that was drafted by this organization, kind of being groomed the past few years, or is it Mike White, who's got a little bit more game experience, the South Florida kid? I mean, neither of them have been convincing. I mean, Dan, they've been so unconvincing that we had people in this town a week ago or so talking about Ryan Tannehill as a possible backup quarterback with a Miami Dolphins reunion.
On,
so that goes to show you how unconvincing these backups have been.
No, and this is the cool thing tonight, Dono. You and I are going to be doing Game Day Uncensored, which means not that we're going to be cussing and screaming, although technically we can do it if we want to. The thing is, we're going to be honest, and we've been honest for the most part about postgame. If the quarterbacks suck, we're going to tell you this. So far, yeah, you're right. No quarterback has really distinguish themselves between Mike White and Skylar Thompson. And I'm just going to say, yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, we will see how it goes. Yeah, I was listening to something else you were talking about in the headlines, the what Greg McElroy said about Cam Ward.
He's wilding out, by the way.
What do you mean?
You're a Canes fan, and I mean, you got you got to like what he's saying, but even a Canes fan has to be kind of like, come on, man, come on.
Yeah.
Number 3 overall seed, undefeated, winning the ACC. I love it. I mean, granted, I hope he's right, but Greg McElroy's always been kind of a, maybe played for Alabama, you know. But I mean, like, seriously, like, you got to be, I mean, he has LSU as like a number 11 seed, which I pray they are. But at the same time, come on, man. Miami, a number 3 seed?
Well, you know, it's funny because I talked about this a lot actually on my Thursday episode of my Locked On Canes podcast about all the praise coming in from the national media. I think a lot of Miami Hurricanes fans, for a lot of them, the attitude is either, I don't care what they're saying preseason, which is fair. Don't care what they're saying preseason, just want to win. other people actually say, you know, I don't like it when Miami gets this much preseason hype, because it's putting like an unnecessary spotlight on us, and people feel like the media wants to set Miami up to fail. I mean, I guess the way that I look at it is I'm happy that people are looking at Miami's roster and looking at what Mario Cristobal is building and saying, hey, this is starting to resemble the type of team that can contend.
No.
Right. I mean, I go back to Dan comments that were made this past week by Josh Pate, who's one of the better national football guys out there, 24/7 Sports and CBS Sports. He goes to a lot of training camp practices around the Southeast. Even in the Big Ten country, he gets around to a lot of practices. And he says, you know, I've been down to Miami a lot. I've also seen a lot of practices, he said, at places like Alabama and Georgia. And the players that Miami now has in the building are starting to look pretty similar to what they have in those places. So I take that as respect. But then at the same time, you talk about the McElroy prediction, which is 3-seed at ACC champion. Pate predicted Miami to go 11-1.
Justice Sandel
from On Three.
Justice Sandel has them at undefeated going in. It's like, come on.
Oof. Wow.
But this is the thing. If you're in the conversation, that means something. You know what I mean? Where there's smoke, there is somewhat fire. No one's going to say, oh, this team's really going to be great, they're going to be awesome, when they're not. They're going to at least have some reason to say that, because they obviously have some talent. Yes, Mario Cristobal definitely has some of the talent guys there. It's just, let's see how it transfers over. But yes, you would rather be predicted to be good than to predict to be just absolutely garbage, because sometimes, you know, you see how bad they are. But, I mean, I hope Miami is this good, but I don't know about undefeated being a 3-seed in the college football playoff. And I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer on a Friday morning, but that's a lot. That's a lot.
It would be a big jump from 7-6. It would be.
From losing to Rutgers in the Pinstripe Bowl to being undefeated in a 3-seed behind what, Georgia and was it? Oh, I can't even remember the other team it was. I was like, man, come on, man. And I love it. And you know what? I think Mario Cristobal is doing everything right, and I'm not just saying that because we're here in Miami. I think he is doing everything right. I like what he's doing, but man, that's a big jump.
Well, you know, I made my official prediction that I've put it on record a couple times is 10-2. So I think Miami's going to be very good this year, because not only has the roster gotten better, they're deeper on the offensive and defensive lines. They're significantly better, at least they should be, at quarterback with Cam Ward. They have one of the most proven wide receiver cores in the country. People may not realize all the experience they have with Xavier Restrepo, Jacoby George, both back from last year, and Sam Brown transferring in from Houston. These guys were all over 800 receiving yards last year, with Restrepo going over 1,000 yards last year. You know, they added Damian Martinez to what's already a good running back room. He and Fletcher are going to become a dynamic duo. The linebacker core is really good. Plus, the schedule, Dan, for Miami, the Hurricanes, is more manageable this year. Like, you don't have, even in the ACC, you don't have to play Clemson or NC State this year, who are two of the better teams in the conference. So I'm going 10 wins, and then I thought I was bullish. Like, I thought, oh, man, people are going to call me a sunshine pumper or a Kool-Aid drinker. I go 10-2 for Miami, and then I see guys like Pate and J.D. Piquel going 11-1, some people going 12-0. It's like, okay, you thought I was a Kool-Aid drinker. We got some new Kool-Aid drinkers in town. So we have that to look forward to, as the Hurricanes are going to start their regular season August 31st against the Florida Gators.
That's next Saturday.
Dan, I will be going to Gainesville for that game. Have you spent any time in Gainesville? Any advice? Should I wear a mullet wig? Like, how do I fit in up there?
Dude, it's been so long. I almost got arrested in Gainesville. That's the closest I've come to getting arrested without actually getting arrested. But that was back in the day when the Purple Porpoise existed. And if you're from Gainesville, you know the Purple Porpoise does not exist anymore. A lot of the bars have been closed down. They built high rises or whatever. But yeah, no, I don't have a lot of advice for Gainesville. The thing is this, I mean, you hate to say it. And I mean, Dono, am I correct or incorrect in saying this is as much of a week one must win for both teams as anywhere else?
Yes. This game has so much like intrigue beyond the two fan bases, because everyone's going to be tuning in to see, hey, which coach is going to get themselves on the hot seat or the warm seat.
The thing is, you got to believe Mario Cristobal's okay. He's got the big contract. He's a Miami guy.
Yes.
And I believe he's building the right position. Billy Napier, God bless him. Louisiana Lafayette, raging Cajun, did a great job. Finding out that UL, as we say in Louisiana, Louisiana Lafayette is a different world.
In case we haven't met, I'm Dino Colombo. I represent people hurt by a truck. It's what we do every day. Justice isn't just a word. It's your right. We'll stand up for you when others can't. Hurt by a truck? Call Colombo Law.
Then University of Florida.
Yeah.
But to much that is given, much is expected. You have one of the most prized programs in all of America. You have to do something with it. And he has been not very good. You feel as though if we win, we feel as though we're on the right track, right? You know what? We're getting back.
Yes,
we got the guys. We got this. Billy Napier, if they win, I hope they don't. Oh, my goodness. But they're saying, you know what? We took care of Miami. We took care of in-state. You'll see this is the year. It kind of buys you a little bit of breathing room for these two coaches. But goodness gracious, it just seems like as much of a week one must win as I've heard or seen in a long time.
Well, and it's definitely it's more of a must win even for Florida. And I say this as a Miami fan. And if Miami doesn't win that game, I'm going to be devastated. Like, I'm going to be disappointed and devastated. But if I look at it objectively, you know, not only is Billy Napier's seat, it can get hot very quickly. But then, Dan, if you look at Florida's schedule, it's a murderer's row. They're over under. Their Las Vegas over under is 4.5 wins.
Good.
So if they win five games, their coach probably gets fired, even though they have exceeded the expectations of the gamblers.
You feel as though if they win like 6 or 7 games, he still gets fired. So, like, this is for Billy Napier, must
win. They win 8 games, they should build him a statue. Like, that's how tough that schedule is. They open against Miami. Then, you know, the only, like, seeming freebie on the schedule, maybe a freebie, is home against Samford the following week.
Okay,
then they host Texas A&M. Then they play at Mississippi State. Then they host UCF. That's going to be interesting. Then they play at Tennessee, and the Vols are going to want revenge after what happened in Gainesville last year, and Tennessee looks pretty good. They host Kentucky. Kentucky's had their number recently. They play at, neutral site against Georgia, which is the number one team in the country. They play at number 4 Texas. They host number 13 LSU. They host number 6 Ole Miss. And then they play at number 10 Florida State. Okay. Like, that's the Florida schedule.
You're going through the whole schedule. If they lose to UCF, Billy Napier does not have a job anymore. They're going to fire him.
You're probably right.
Fire him that night. Yeah. I've been in those meetings, I've been in the meetings where they're like, okay, tomorrow we're going to have to be coming to work at, you know, 9 a.m. because they're making an announcement and it's going to be official. If they lose to UCF, that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. No, just Miami. Yeah. Just win the game. Just win the game and let Florida deal with Florida. And if you're a Gators fan, you know what? You went to a good school or you believe in a good school. I have nothing against the academics of University of Florida, but man.
Yeah, unlike Florida State, Florida is a good school.
It's a great school. Great school. But, I mean, I hope you get murdered by LSU. I hope you get murdered by Miami. You know, I don't care what happens to you on the football field. But, yeah, like, the thing is just Miami, win the game, take care of business, at least for 1 week, because, you know, it's week to week. We can say Mario Cristobal has us going in the right direction. He's got the recruits in. We know he's doing a great job recruiting. You can't argue that. And there's more recruits coming in. And I know some people say, it doesn't matter. It's what happens on the field. I disagree with that. You really do have to bring in good recruits. I mean, you never saw Nick Saban bringing in a terrible recruiting class, but making the most of his recruiting class. No, he brings in number one, number two recruiting classes, and then everything works out. So, you know what? Win this game, give us a week and say, and then of course, I'm once again, let's not put the carriage in front of the horse, but you get a week or two after the Florida game to kind of, all right, let's go. Let's get it together.
A little breathing room.
I feel better about that. But you win against Florida, whether it's convincing or not, it's an in-state rivalry. I don't care about the score. You win that game, you feel a lot better about this team.
Yeah, 100%. Well, we'll talk about how loaded this episode of the Joe Rose Show is when we come back. Plus, coming up next, our college football program's going to start going into Saudi Arabia for private equity money and NIL money. Is that going to become a thing now? I mean, if Saudi Arabia is not available, why don't we try North Korea? Something I got to know from Dan Day, and I got to know from you guys on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line at 305-567-0560. Dan, are you a Sunday ticket guy, or are you a Red Zone channel guy? Because honestly, I know people love this Sunday ticket, and they spend like thousands of dollars for it every year. Just all I need is the Red Zone channel. All I need is the Red Zone channel and my local Dolphin game broadcast. I'm good.
There you go. Yeah. No. I don't own a TV, so that's going to be tough for me to even do that. So we're going to be here.
I can never tell when you're lying and when
that's
you're not.
That's not a lie. So tonight, you and I are in the post game. I'm going to help the pregame with Alejandro Solana and Tobin. And I'm going to sit around here and watch the game, and then you and I are going to jump on and do Game Day Uncensored afterwards. We're going to start at 10:30, and we're going to go till I'll go till 1:30, 2 o'clock. I got takes for days. But, yeah, no, I'll watch it all.
Yeah, you know that at some point, Dan, because I turn into a pumpkin after midnight, at some point I am going to fall asleep. I will not leave, but I will fall asleep, and you're just going to have to finish the show.
But, yeah, no, I've watched both. I don't know. I mean, to me, it's just I'm more of just I want to see the one game. I want to see the Dolphins. I don't need to see seven different games get the same time. It just gets to be too much. So I'm more of just put it on CBS4 and, you know, watch the game and check it out. But, yeah, you know, to each their own. Everybody likes what they like.
Because I just feel like the couple of years that I've had Sunday ticket, it's like I always like I want to flip around games anyway. And then I'm like, well, if I just was watching the Red Zone, they'd be flipping around the games for me. I don't feel like I need this.
Too many choices. I don't want the choices. I want one thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You go to the restaurant that has a billion different great things on the menu and you're like, you feel as though you're missing out. But you go to one restaurant that does one thing good. You're like, okay, I'm getting that. And you.
Yeah,
you don't have, as they say, FOMO. You know, I don't have any fear of missing out. I'm just like, cool. And that's the thing. Like, tonight, I just want to watch the Dolphins game. You know, I know they've got other games going on. Yeah. I don't care about that. And for everyone that's sitting there, it's preseason, nobody cares. I care. I'm not going to lie. I love preseason. I love the regular season. And in fact, there's a lot on the line tonight, whether the starters play or not. There's so much to take from it. So I'm excited about it no matter what.
Yeah, I mean, preseason, they're kind of like glorified practices, but I dig it because you're talking about jobs being won, battles happening for certain positions, whatever glimpses you get of your starters gives you an idea of what they might look like this year. Like, take it for what it is. They're glorified practices, but if you're a football fan, that's something you want to check out. Now this is wild, Dan, in the world of college sports. Actually, before we get to this, I want to let people know, Brian Baldinger is going to be on the show in a few minutes. He sat down with Joe Rose this week. We're going to hear from Baldy. We're going to talk live with Joe Rose at 7 o'clock. He's out in Tampa. He's getting ready for that preseason finale tonight. So we will have Joe on the show. We're going to have some other great interviews happening throughout this episode. So, okay, Dan, recently resigned Colorado special teams coordinator. He worked there for Coach Prime. Actually, Trevor Riley actually worked for Prime at Jackson State, came over with him to Colorado. He recently resigned. Now, he says like he doesn't have any beef with Dion or anybody from the coaching staff. He's got beef with the Colorado administration.
I was going to say, did he say like, he has no beef? Because the first thing you should glean from anybody that says they don't have beef means they have beef.
Well, I think he specifically has called out the Colorado administration and not Dion.
Yeah, okay.
And like he admitted in his resignation letter, like he went rogue in seeking NIL assistance from the Saudi Arabian Sovereign Wealth Fund, the public investment fund, which owns LIV Golf. They own Newcastle United. So he says he acted on his own accord and he's no longer an employee of the university, he said. He said in his resignation letter, "You paid me $90,000 a year and let me handle special teams. I did all this work in your name and was told to pursue it. I burned through all my contacts in the Mormon community, which is worth about $3 trillion. That's a lot of money. Now I can't get these people to answer my calls because I just found out today that none of my endeavors will happen. I even went to Saudi Arabia," he says, "and got a meeting with the Saudis who are interested in pursuing business. I have email receipts to prove it, and you guys let it fall on his face." He also went to Amman, Jordan, to meet with the Jordanian government during the holiday season last year. He says, I spent 2 months and a lot of my personal money and a lot of my time I sacrificed. He said, I spent Christmas in a Turkish bathhouse in Amman, Jordan, saying
awesome.
Hi to my kids. It actually does sound awesome. So it's like, so apparently no deal is going to happen between Colorado and Saudi Arabia. But Dan, that's going to become a thing. Like when schools are now going to be seeking private equity and, you know, maybe NIL money, you know, Saudi Arabian money is going to become a thing. And you're going to have to do a lot of PR spin for that, because I think a lot of Americans would say, hey, you're getting oil money from Saudi Arabia. That's not going to be cool with a lot of people.
That's true. I never thought about that. The NIL, we always think it's just boosters, but now other people can get involved. And there's been businesses that have done it too, but now you're starting to get a little deeper that, yes, Saudi Arabia and certain organizations could be involved. Yeah, that is interesting. That's a little scary and alarming at the same time.
Yeah, no doubt about that. I've heard some rumblings that, you know, certain schools that may be trying to get out of the conference that they're in, if they need to pay a buyout, Saudi Arabian money could be a solution for raising buyout money and maybe, you know, bringing in some private equity from over there. And it's definitely like from the Saudi Arabian side of it, Dan, it would not surprise me if they want to get involved in American college football, because Saudi Arabia, I mentioned, they've got their hands in a lot of international sports. They own multiple European soccer clubs, you know, LIV Golf, and they've kind of snuck their way into the PGA Tour now. You know, they call it sports washing with the way that the Saudi Arabian government wants to get heavily involved in popular international sports. So if they were to find some kind of a footprint in American college football, I would be not surprised in the least.
Yeah, first of all, they have enough money to do it. Number two, just to say, even if it's profitable or not profitable, just to say, look what we've done, look who we are, look where we're at, that could be worth it to them. And at the same time, just the awareness and everything they have, it makes me feel weird. I don't know how to say it.
For sure. It's not illegal to get private equity money from Saudi Arabia or anywhere else. I would assume you could probably get legal money even from China, but it would be very frowned upon, I think, by a lot of Americans.
This is my thing. It's easy right now for you and I to say, do not accept that money. That's not right. That's nothing. Okay, so we're both Miami Hurricanes fans. We're not accepting that. That's disgusting. It's dirty.
Right.
Rival FSU takes it and starts prospering from it. It's like, you're doing it the wrong way, but you're getting ahead. You know what I mean? Like, it's dirty, it's nasty, it's ugly. But then when your rival starts profiting from it, what do you say? It's like, I don't like this, but money, where does it start to kind of get a little tricky for you if that would be the situation that starts to happen?
Yeah, I will admit there was a time when the Italian soccer team that I root for, when there were some rumors that the Saudi Arabian fund didn't happen, but the Saudi Arabian fund was interested in buying my Italian soccer team. I'm like, you know what? If it pays the bills, it is what it is.
There was a time, as you know, I'm a Chelsea fan in the English Premier League, when they had an owner who was spending a lot of money and they were doing pretty darn good. He kind of got
Russian
pushed
oligarch.
Out. Yeah, he got kind of pushed out. Now it's like, what are we doing, man? Come on. I mean, I'm not asking, but come on, man. Let's do this. So
Roman Abramovich.
Yeah. And I, you know, we have John Ruiz here, who I think is acting within his bounds. And, you know, I've always been.
Ruiz is out. He's not involved in NIL anymore.
But what he was doing, I never had a problem with. And I've gone on the record and said, I don't have a problem. He never broke any rules. He never did anything wrong, at least that we know of. I didn't have a problem with that, but this is a whole different animal than John Ruiz. This is.
Yeah, right.
I don't want to get into how nasty it is, but it is a very different world. But like I said, it's easy to make a stand until your rival starts profiting from it. And then it's like, but we're falling behind because of our. And look, I graduated from LSU. Look, we're not above anything. We're about winning. It's just like, So, yeah, that's interesting that somebody like the Saudi Arabian government could get involved in a college football team.
It's crazy. Well, how far would you go if you could get a check that clears, like a cashier's check from Kim Jong-un? Do you take that check?
I mean, right now, no, of course not. But you know, when Alabama and when Auburn and when Florida State and when Georgia, they start doing... The thing is, once other schools start doing it,
It's going to become normalized very quickly.
Right.
Very quickly. It's just going to become another
right,
thing.
Like, oh,
this is the thing we're doing now.
So if half the ACC teams are taking the money and half aren't, and then the ones that are taking it start really profiting, it's just like, you know,
yeah.
What's the point? So, yeah, I mean, right now it's easy to take a stand, but once you start seeing what happens, But, like, that's what's so beautiful about college football. It's so uniquely American, or as I should say, United States, to find out that other countries and other entities could be getting involved. That's what kind of, I don't know. Does it disturb you?
Honestly,
I just want to win a national championship.
Yeah.
I want to win a national championship, you know, man.
Yeah. Well, and the good thing is, from where I sit, I don't think Miami would have to do anything like this anytime soon, because we know that there are some wealthy American and Cuban American donors who don't have the taboo that comes from Saudi Arabia. Not to mention, Miami's got a very healthy NIL collective that doesn't need oil money to do it. The Canes Connection collective has been rocking it. So I don't think Miami is going to be looking to do anything like that anytime soon. We get this though from the text line, Dan. El Chapo wants to sponsor some NIL deals, or when you pump gas into your car, you're supporting Saudi Arabia. I don't know about you guys. I have like the Flintstones car. I pedal and push. I don't mess with that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, oh man, it's just, yeah, it's weird, man. Now that you start mentioning it, the problem is, like I said, if enough people start doing it, it starts becoming normalized. And I like the fact that college football is so United States. It's so like,
right,
our game. It's so, and it's even kind of localized. Like, Miami is Miami, man. This is our team. You know, it's a national brand, but at the same time, like, it's something you can hold on to. To think that a foreign country or just foreign money could influence it, kind of, it throws me off a little bit. And I mean, like, I even kind of shudder, not that badly yet, but that, like, Florida State and Georgia Tech are playing in Dublin tomorrow.
Yeah, that is weird. Like, yeah, tomorrow.
It's cool, and I know it's a great trip, and I have friends that are out there that are living the dream, but at the same time, I'm like, man, that's not what college football's about.
I know.
It's weird. And, I mean, the second Miami goes and plays in, you know, Dusseldorf or Paris,
yeah,
you know, you and I are probably going to...
Oh, the Dolphins played in, what was it, Hamburg last
year? Right, Cologne and all that. Yeah, I mean, I understand, and the NFL is doing what the NFL does, but college football...
Frankfurt.
Right. College football seems like it's just a little more... I hate to say it, more innocent, and it's not, but it just...
No, it's
has
not,
that,
yeah.
It has that, like, perception. I don't know. It throws me off, but you bring up a good point. Like, that could be a reality eventually, that now it's kind of open to that, and you can't make a law that says you can only accept money from certain companies. So, I'm all about winning, though. No, I'm joking. It's weird, man. It's tough.
Well, we're going to shift our focus back to the National Football League when we come back. Coming up at 7, Joe Rose is going to join us live from Tampa. We'll get his take on Dolphins versus Buccaneers preseason finale tonight. But when we come back, we'll hear from Brian Baldinger. Baldy, join Joe. You want to keep it locked right here, AM 560 Sports, WQAM. I have much love and respect for the football opinions of former NFL offensive lineman and current NFL Network analyst Brian Baldinger. Here's Baldy sitting down with our guy, Joe Rose.
We're going to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline, Joe. We are joined by Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Odyssey Original Podcast, the best football show featuring daily breakdowns of all the most exciting moments across the league.
Well, Baldy's just the best as we bring him in. It's been a while. Baldy, how you doing?
What's up, Joe? Good to hear your voice, buddy. Good to be on with you, man.
Hey, man, it's been great. Been watching all your stuff you've been doing. You guys been hitting all the hot topics, so...
Yeah.
Well, let's go from football to off the field and a little bit of drama we've had down here. Old school versus new school. We had one of our writers write an article about what system works better, the positive reinforcement or the old school Brian Flores. I'm just curious, you're sitting back watching this. What were you thinking?
Well, you know, when I heard Tua, I mean, anybody that knows him, I mean, he's a pretty straight shooter. He's not anybody that's going to just fabricate or make stuff up. It's not like Brian, you know, when he was asked for a rebuttal, it wasn't like he denied anything. He just didn't really address it. You know, so, I mean, I think there's a lot of truth there that Tua was saying, and I don't think there's any question how much Mike McDaniel loves him and how he loves him up. And after the year that he just had, why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that's where it stands right now. Tua's in a much better place, got a nice new contract. And we'll see if they can make some noise in the postseason if they get there this year.
Baldy, it's the greatest turnaround since I've been down here, since 1980 as a player, that I can remember a guy going from where he was when this thing started his first 2 years to where he is right now. I've never seen, not by a first-round pick, not by a free agent, I've never seen a turnaround like this.
Well, I think a lot of it, honestly, Joe, is just the creativity and the genius of Mike McDaniel. You can, you know, obviously, he hasn't won anything as a head coach and all that stuff, and that's what we, ultimately we'll measure him by. But his offense is so good, and he needs somebody to get the ball out of his hands quick and make quick decisions and be accurate with it. And he's built a team around the quarterback with a tremendous amount of speed and a tremendous amount of playmakers. And his job is to get the ball to him, and he does it. He does it really, really well.
Right.
And so That's the turnaround. The turnaround is the combination of Tua with Mike, and it's a great combination right now.
It is. It's rolling. It's a good marriage for sure. All right. Well, let's talk about quarterbacks, because without a quarterback, you got problems. I love the fact that we could have – I think Bo Nix is going to start. I watched the first quarter of that game the other night. Yeah. He looked really good. Caleb and Jaden are all going to start. I don't have a problem with these rookies, man. They're paying them a lot of money. You might as well get him in there and play right away. Do you agree with that, or would you Tom Brady it and let him sit for a while?
Well, every situation is different. I mean, I think, you know, players have to earn it. They have to earn the respect of the veterans. I think Jaden has done that for sure. I think Caleb is doing that. They do it in their own way. They're completely different type of players. Bo Nix is, you know, I think there's been a real competition there, but I think he's won the competition. I think Sean wanted him to win the competition. I think some coaches know the guys are ready. They just have to put them in a situation where they still have to go out there and earn it. They're not going to just give it to them. And, you know, they can't be slappies, you know, on the field or in the locker room. They got to, like, do their business. And I think these guys understand that they might be a little bit more advanced now than maybe what we're used to seeing. Some of these guys played a lot of football, been in a lot of situations with some good coaches. Certainly Caleb has done that. Jaden has done that. You know, they're very, very accomplished players. At the college ranks, a lot of them are pretty advanced students here to get to this level, and they've kind of demonstrated that throughout preseason.
Help me out with your take on what's going to happen with Justin Fields and Russell Wilson. I think they're both going to play a lot of football. I think they're both going to start. I think some of it's going to be because of bad play. They're going to make a change. What do you think?
Well, I mean, last week against Buffalo looked like they were getting ready for, you know, week three. Like, they were blitzing. They completely dominated the line of scrimmage. They went after both quarterbacks. And the offensive line of Pittsburgh, which they've spent a lot of resources on, did not play well. They didn't play well at the right tackle spot. They didn't play well at the left tackle spot. They didn't play well. And so neither quarterback looked very good. I don't think Mike Tomlin has made a decision yet on who's going to start. But ultimately, I think you will see both guys play this year.
Yeah. Hey, so we've had these camps. It looks like it's going on everywhere. The camps are a lot different than they used to be, Baldy. You're from the old school two-a-days and go out for a third walkthrough late at night after dinner. Yeah. So the camps are much easier, and I understand I don't have a problem with it. I'm not one of these old guys that hates it. But we're seeing a lot of injuries, even though we've cut way back. Why? I mean, we got people like canceling practices because they don't have enough healthy bodies. What do you think the problem is, even though they're not hitting as much?
Yeah, well, I think that's part of it. I think part of the problem is, you know, they're not hitting. And, you know, and some of it is the rules and some of it is coaches decide not to do it. But, I mean, a lot of teams, you know, you decide whether to play or not to play your guys in the preseason – Certainly Kansas City has played and Houston has played. And I don't know, like I'd like to see the numbers and who's getting more injured, guys that are playing and hitting in practice and those that aren't. My gut tells me that the teams are out there kind of banging a little bit and playing these guys in preseason. They're building up the calluses and they're not getting hurt as much. Now, I might be wrong, but I mean, the Rams didn't even play a preseason game. They had three starting offensive linemen out. You know, so
yeah.
I don't know what to make out of that, Joe. I know this. I know that it sure looks like Kansas City looks pretty healthy to me, and nobody's played their starters more than they have.
No, you're right. Andy Reid gets after it, man. You're no question about it. So, got to ask you about some guys. CeeDee Lamb, will he be back for the opener?
I don't know. I mean, my gut tells me that Jerry's going to get this deal done, only because they're not a very good team without him. The offense runs through him. And I think he gives that team a lot of toughness the way he plays the game. That guy can take a hit as well as anybody. He's demonstrated that. My gut tells me that Jerry will get this done. There'll be a little dramatic flair up until whenever, but I think he's going to get the deal done.
Then the other one is San Francisco's got not one but two impact guys out there, left tackle and wide receiver, and Brandon Ayuk and Trent Williams. You think both those guys are back? They look fairly close with Ayuk, although something keeps holding it up here the last few days.
Well, they went right up until the Friday before the opening game last year to get Nick Bosa done. And he started week one and had three sacks. I think the same thing will get done with Trent. I'm not so sure about the wide receiver now, although the receivers they put out there on the field with Brock last week, they weren't very good. And I wouldn't expect them to be able to win many games without their starters out there. I know this. Last year, Trent Williams missed two games. He was hurt in another game, and they didn't win any of those games. They're a much better offense, much better team with Trent Williams in the lineup. And I think everybody in that organization knows it.
All right. Boy, the one that looks like a long shot to me, because Cincinnati's been so cheap, Ja'Marr Chase getting a deal done. Do you think they get a deal done with him?
I don't know. That owner is from a different school. Joe Burrow's going to throw it to the open guy regardless. But they're not going to win that division if Ja'Marr Chase isn't out there. They lost Tyler Boyd already. I know they got some young guys they like, but Ja'Marr Chase, he said it last year, Joe. He's open. He's always bleeping open, and it's true. You could throw it to him just about every single down, and you're not going to make a mistake. They have to get the deal done.
Haason Reddick, the Jets look foolish and stupid right now that they didn't know this guy wanted. What'd they think? Because he changed the uniforms, he wasn't going to want a new contract. How's this thing going to end for him as one of the better pass rushers in the league?
Well, I mean, he doesn't really have any leverage, Joe. Like, does he want to play football? I mean, all Joe Douglas, the general manager, said, and I agree with you, they screwed this up from the beginning. When they made the trade, they might as well have gotten the deal done at the same time. That's what the Eagles did with A.J. Brown when they traded him on draft night. But does he want to play football? The Jets went through this with Le'Veon Bell, and he sat out, and he missed the season. He was never the same guy. All Joe Douglas has said is, we will work with you, but they haven't seen him since he signed the contract. Nobody has seen him in that Jets organization. So is he in shape? Does he want to play? Is he ready to play? None of that's going to get done until he shows up. I feel like the Jets are firmly got their feet in the sand on this deal.
Speaking of that, how do you feel about the Jets coming in this season? Looks like their O-line's pretty healthy, been playing pretty well. All reports are they're pretty good. And Aaron Rodgers, if he can stay healthy, how good can that team be?
Well, they can be really good, Joe. Aaron Rodgers told me that if they get a 14-point lead, they're not losing a game. And so this defense has never played with a lead, basically, last year, the year before. I mean, their quarterbacks last year, Joe, threw a combined 11 touchdown passes. I mean, it was the worst in the league. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, if he throws anywhere around 30, that defense is going to play with the lead. They're going to be really good in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. And what about the Bills? Did the Bills take – I've been on this thing a little bit here that the Bills might take a little bit of a step backwards. I'm just not sold. They've already had a key injury to Matt Milano not coming back, who just killed the Dolphins. He killed everybody. It was that good.
Yeah.
What's your take on the receiving core and how good they can be?
Well, I think they're going to realize that Stephon Diggs was a really important part of his last four division championships. And as good as Josh Allen is, you still need somebody to go to on third down, red zone, to finish drives off. And that's what Diggs did. Now, he might have been a pain in the butt for some. Evidently, he was. But sometimes you got to put up with that. You know, talent kind of wins out sometimes. And so that's a hard guy to replace. And maybe Keon Coleman could be that guy. You know, maybe some of these other guys, Shakir, maybe some of these other guys can be that guy. But until they are, you know, I got to kind of wait and see.
Boy, I'm with you. I'm with you, boy. This AFC East just looks wide open. Baldy, thank you, man. Great being with you. Hope you had a great offseason. Hope you got to go to some fine places and look at some fine things, if you know what I mean.
I know what you mean, Joe, and I was able to do all those things. I'm ready to get to work.
Thanks, Baldy.
All right, you got it, buddy.
Brian Baldinger, single. I'm living through him. Odyssey NFL Insider and NFL Network.
And make sure to follow the best football show with Brian Baldinger on the Odyssey app or subscribe wherever you get your podcast.